Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North, your source for hobby up here in the Great White North. As always, I'm here with my beloved co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello!
And we are going to, I guess this is family-friendly, so I can't use that phrase. We are going to blabber on about random hobby stuff. We're actually not so random. I think this week we're going to talk about our painting spaces / hobby spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Or in my case, the lack thereof, or the all-encompassing thereof, depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
If you ask my wife, it's all-encompassing. It takes over the whole house. If you ask me, I need more space. But yeah, mm-hmm. That's the way it works.
Makes sense.
Before we get into that, though, we're going to do our hobby and games as always. I don't have much to add to that, so what do we got here? Let me look at the notes so that I know what we're supposed to be talking about.
That's right. About it.
Yeah. So what you got going on tonight there, sir?
Tonight, I'm drawing.
You're drawing. Are you doing the Inktober thing, right?
Yeah, usually I do it on the train. I slept on the train. I do it over my lunchtime. Today at lunchtime, I had to go to the post office, so I'm late.
Oh, were you mailing a certain thing for a certain event that's coming up?
I was getting a quote for a certain thing for a certain event.
Oh, so excellent.
The quote is ad, so it's going to be in the mail tomorrow or Wednesday.
Oh, there you go. Did you talk to the people who ordered that certain thing for the certain event about us maybe making a couple for ourselves?
Not yet. That's
excellent. Okay, well.
Next thing I need to ask.
Or do you? No, I'm kidding.
I should.
Respect your customers. It's good for business.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not complete douchebags, you should be okay.
Mm-hmm. And you?
I am assembling some Warhammer 40K Primaris Reavers, which are like scouts on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And while I love the new scale and the new the detail level of the new models, I am hating every moment of assembling these guys. I miss the days when my Marines were like four parts and I didn't have to care.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are probably not that many more parts, to be perfectly honest. Marines, I think the legs were one piece, the torso was two pieces, so that's three, head four, arms five, six, backpack seven. And then the little gribbly bits you want to glue them on. You know, the gun, eight.
And the two shoulder pads.
9, 10, yeah. And the little waistband bits, if you ever glued them on, which I don't think anyone ever did. These guys actually don't seem to be any more pieces than that, but they just seem a hell of a lot more fiddly. Because they're all super dynamic. And you're like, oh, this pose is awesome. Now let me glue on these accessories. Oh, they don't fit because the pose is super dynamic and everything is in the way. So, yeah. There have been a few moments of frustration, I won't lie. On the whole, though, I'm quite pleased with these models. They are gorgeous. I'm doing this, of course, for Kill Team, that game that caught Antoine's interest for about 15 minutes the other week.
Hey, I played three games up to now.
Yeah, which means you should be done with it for the next 4 years?
No.
I'm just teasing you.
If I was not in the middle of commissions, I would be painting Alpha Legion right now.
Oh. Look at you. I guess you just use standard, like, Chaos Marine type rules.
Yeah, the Heretic Astartes list as regular Marine, well, regular Chaos Marines and Cultists. I still have the old Cultists that had the skirts and melee weapons.
Well, I actually have, I mean, I don't know how many Cultists you need. If you want 20 of them, I can't help you.
No.
But I think I have 5 or 6 of the new Cultists.
Oh, I like the old ones. I don't think they're going to be good because they'll be close combat weapons.
Well, they're cultists. Well, no, because I have these, the ones that came with the...
Dark Vengeance box, or yeah, the one previous? Or
yeah, the same ones that came with that, but I have like a start... That's like a little Warhammer painting kit thing, and it comes with five of them or something.
Oh, that could be interesting.
That's why I was trying to give it to you, and you're like, no, I don't need it. I've got cultists. So, well,
I have enough nice cultists. I don't have probably enough variety. So, I could use them.
For well, sure. Too late. I'm taking the offer off the dump. No, just kidding.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, consider them yours. I'll even include the starter paintbrush and starter paints with them in the box. Well, maybe your son could use them.
Yep.
Or actually, considering you have no good paintbrushes, maybe you could use it. It's a GW standard brush. That's got to be better than that Games and Gears thing you're using.
It's working.
Yeah, I know. You know, people ask me why I believe in God and how I can believe in miracles and shit. That's because I've seen what you do with that Games and Gears brush. Like, if Antoine can paint those beautiful models with that piece of junk, God must exist. It's like divine will that those models look so good. It's like you dipped a sheep in paint and try to paint with it, right? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, it's probably not worse than using those giant Wapple brushes.
Oh, I don't know about that. I really think the Wapple brushes hold a better point.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, you know, because there's always the off chance that Sam will listen to this podcast for some odd reason. And I want to be clear that we're talking about the first generation Games and Gears brushes, the double-ended things.
Yeah.
That were horrible. We are not talking about...
Oh, right now I'm not using those. Because they're all dead.
Hold on. I just want to clarify that I was referring to those. Mm-hmm. I was not referring to the first generation pocket brushes, like the covered brushes, mm-hmm. which are also terrible.
That's what I'm using
less
right now.
Yeah, they're slightly less terrible. And then there's the synthetic generation that came after, which were even less terrible. And I think now it's possible you may almost be able to get a decent brush out of those sets with the new Series 6, 10, 14, whatever they're at. Or at least that's the rumor.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't bought any to try because I haven't had, you know, $30 to throw away. Wow, I'm harsh tonight. Apparently, no sleep makes Paul a very... Actually, it doesn't make me any more angry or direct than normal. Never mind.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, well, I got to be me.
It's not easy being you.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I wouldn't say that. The joy of not really caring about what anyone else says or thinks means it is pretty easy to be me. And I suppose that's not entirely true, too. I do somewhat care what people say or think. Usually. Depending on my mood. You know, for example, I care what you think of me. I care what my other friends think of me. You know, even Yom. I know that may come as a shock to him when he listens to this. But other people I care less. Yeah. Well, he may listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or is he the one that said he only listens to shows that he's on?
Was no.
That was...
Just as a backlog.
Yeah.
We're raising too much for him right now, so...
Well, we're actually doing pretty good. We're doing once a week here.
Yep.
Mind you, I make no claims as to the quality of the content, but we are releasing episodes. And we're having fun.
That's more than we can say for the past few years, so...
What, that we've had fun or that we're releasing episodes?
Both.
Oh no, we had some fun episodes before.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go back and reiterate that the first, I'd say, 6 months were great. We had some good content there. We had a lot of fun. But then it's kind of hard to talk about hobby stuff in a radio medium with a structured show.
Well, there was the editing, multiple people, scheduling, and kids.
Yeah. Turn those progeny.
Multiple new kids in both families didn't help.
No, that's true. Why did we have to be fruitful and multiply, Antoine?
I ask that myself every day.
I was asking myself that at 2 a.m. when Myrtle woke up screaming, punching and kicking me. Like, oh, I love my daughter most days.
Just not most nights.
Yeah. I feel bad for her. You know, it's tough. She has nightmares. I get it. I try to be sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting slapped in the face at 4 a.m. because the TV's gone off and she wants me to do something about it. You know. I'm less sympathetic at that point. That, and I get the, you know, I turned back on the Wiggles or whatever she was watching. And then I just start to fall back asleep and I get, you know, Daddy, I'm getting kind of hungry.
At 2 a.m.
Well, this was closer to 4.
Still.
That's when I got her to sleep, because I fed her a snack and then she finally went to sleep. Close to 5 or whatever. And then I was like, okay, I can finally sleep a little bit. And then my wife came down. It was, I don't know, 7-ish or something. To let me know that she wasn't feeling well, so she wasn't going to work, and she went back to bed. And I won't lie, I may have wanted to murder someone. But I didn't. And here we are.
That's good.
I call that a successful day.
No killing.
No killing.
So, apart from what you're working on tonight, what have you been working on in the past week?
Well, I think it was last episode we recorded, I was painting minks for my guild.
I think so, yeah.
For Guild Ball, yeah. For a union for Guild Ball, my guild. Yeah, and I actually finished that. I got most of that done that night. She came out really well for something I painted in like an hour and a half recording with an extra half hour on top for basing and, you know, some finishing work. I was really impressed with that time investment. Either I'm getting better or my standards are dropping. So,
could be a mix.
It could be a mix. That's true. Could absolutely be a mix. It's more than likely a mix. That was a lot of fun. I was pretty happy with that model, considering I'd had kind of low hopes. Because, you know, these are older models from Guild Ball. They're not necessarily the prettiest looking models.
Mm-hmm.
So I had aimed low for my expectations, but I was very pleasantly surprised.
That's good.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out which little tiny grenades I can try to glue onto my model and screw it up again. I think someone at GW is like a sadist. Personally, I think it's the guy who makes the instructions to these models. Because putting these little grenades on their chests is a nightmare. And like I said to you before we started recording, you know, I tried putting them on after the arms are on, like the instructions say, and then they're always in the way of everything. So I tried to outsmart it and put them on before I put the arms on, and then the arms don't fit.
There's no way to win.
So it would seem. Well, this guy went on okay. I've also given up on putting two on each guy, like the picture has for some of them. They get one set of grenades, because that's enough. Yeah, what do I think they are? Rambo?
That's pretty much it.
A valid point.
Well, that would be Sly Marbo, probably, but still.
Yeah, is he back? He went away. Did he come back? Did they come out with a new version of him? I don't remember.
I don't.
Because they did away with a lot of those guys, right? All those characters and anything they couldn't claim copyright on because it was ripped off of something else. A lot of those flavor pieces went out of the world, which kind of makes me sad because I won't lie, I kind of like them.
I'm not sure he's gone because we see him popping out once in a while. Might be a special casting or limited casting.
Yeah. I don't remember what his backstory was. Wasn't he the one that, like, killed the Lictor with his bare hands or something?
I guess.
Well, I mean, he is a Catachan, right?
Yep.
Which means his arms are bigger than his waistline?
Yep. Absolutely true.
You know, I bought a unit of those models. Wait a minute. I don't know where those models went. Sorry, it's dawned on me. Like, I bought a unit of those guys a while back, many moons ago, and I started assembling them. just because they were so ridiculously proportioned, I loved it. But in my recent cleanup and sale of most of my GW overstock, shall we say, I didn't come across them, so I don't know what to do with them. Maybe I gave them to someone or sold them to someone else, or I don't know. Anyway. Sorry, I'm rambling all over the place. This podcast apparently is never going to get done. I finished Minx, like I said. And now I'm working on these Reavers. I've been kind of trying to decide what... Oops, that was a bottle of glue. I'm kind of trying to decide what I'm going to paint them. Like, what color scheme?
Yeah, well, have you settled on a chapter, or...?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go... Imperial Fists.
Oh,
just
yeah?
Just because, yeah. I've wanted yellow Marines for a while. And I painted a few, I don't know, three editions ago of 40K for the version of Kill Team that was out back then. It wasn't even a version of Kill Team that was out. It was like a fan-based one where you bought your models and you had like a equipment list and you customized them. Very similar to what the current one's like, actually. And I had plans to try to start a league of that, and that fell through. But those models are still here, and they're actually in my display case right next to me. I got two whole painted models, and I think I got a couple base coated ones in my display. Though I think I'm going to go for a different yellow. I made them very canary yellow the first time, and I think I want to go for more of a golden yellow this time. And I'm trying to figure out what color I want to use as the base for that. I'm guessing a brown of some kind.
I painted two Imperial Fists for a commission. I think I went brown to undercoat, and then I used the Averland Sunset Air by GW, and
yep.
It worked pretty good.
Yeah, or maybe if not a brown for the base, maybe an ochre.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what that color is called. I think it's called Tau something or other. But...
Yeah, can't help you. I'm pretty late two or three editions of paint names. So.
Yeah, same here. You know, back in my day.
That's almost it.
Yeah, we are surprisingly old, Antoine. Surprisingly old. So aside from that, I'm going to wait for the glue to dry before I continue to mangle this model. I played a couple games of Guild Ball, because that seems to be mostly what I'm playing now, at least for the time being. And I played, this may have been last week, I don't remember what this game was, I played against Steve at his Morticians versus my Union, and it was horrible. Steve's a fantastic opponent, so I don't mean the game was bad, I just mean like my performance, and the performance of my team was atrocious. And it left me very, very down in the dumps about the game in general, or at least that matchup specifically. And then on the weekend, I played my buddy Ben. He was playing his Rat Catchers, and the game started off with me basically screwing up horribly and ending up down 8-0 in no time. And at that point, I decided to actually start, playing. Like a person with half a brain. And I managed to win it 12-8 in the end.
Great comeback.
Yep. I got lucky. Ben had a very clear path to victory. And dice happened. And he failed to tackle the ball off of my player. And then when that happened, I walked away, passed the ball to someone who was going to be really hard to steal off of. And then proceeded to mangle a bunch of his players for points, and then score a goal to finish it. Actually, I was down because I killed his mascot, I think. And a mascot's only worth one victory point out of the 12 you need. So I was at an odd number. Oh, no, sorry, I'm misremembering. Yeah, that's what it was. So he had one model that was down to one health. And I was missing 6 points to win. So I scored a goal. For 4 points, but the model that scored the goal was also diseased, so I made sure to end my activation within 2 inches of his guy. So when my activation ended, I'd spread the disease to him, and then the turn ended, and his own player died from the condition that he'd put on my character. And that won me the game. So I felt pretty good about that. I thought that was a snazzy win.
Yep. that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really enjoying the season 4 Guild Ball stuff. I like the fact that everyone's changed, so it's kind of like relearning all the teams again. And it's bringing old teams back, like things we didn't see, or like your Butchers, like people are playing Butchers again, people are playing Alchemists and being happy. I know Chris is super excited to get his Alchemists on the table, so that's really neat, because he hasn't really been excited about them in a while. And he kept trying them, but he couldn't quite seem to make it happen. Yeah. And I think that there was just something with the team, the way it was built, it didn't work properly. Didn't work as intended, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be fixed now, and so he's quite happy about that. And he's looking forward to playing some games once he's got some time. And this weekend there's an upcoming tournament, Season 4 launch tournament, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can make it. It's kind of up in the air at the moment. I was supposed to be attending, but life and kids happened.
Always.
Yeah, when I signed up for the tournaments, since I signed up for the tournament, we've enrolled our daughter in a Saturday morning activity.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if she's at the activity with my wife,
somebody needs to be with the other kid, and yep. That's you.
Yeah, and she's like, well, I guess I could take him. And, you know, my daughter's doing skating on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And my wife has some, I don't really want to say physical disabilities, because it's not, she has some conditions that make her upper body strength kind of an issue. So carrying around a kid for an hour is just not feasible. And to take him to an arena, you know, the two-year-old and try to dress Muriel in ice skates and padding and stuff and get her out in the ice while hurting a two-year-old.
No, that's going to be painful.
Yeah. She's like, well, I could just, you know, leave him in the stroller. I'm like, you can't leave him in the stroller for an hour, like, in an arena. That's going to be so boring for him. He will be a nightmare. So I'm trying to find a solution to that problem so I can attend. Because I did okay the last couple events we've run for Guild Ball. So I'd like to keep getting some practice because Steve and I are going to a team tournament next month.
Yeah, that's true.
So I want some tournament practice. Yeah. And that's that. I've rambled on for sufficiently long. Tag, you're it.
Well, I would really like to attend that event, but I have a similar problem. We have too many kids' activities over the weekend. So it just doesn't work, especially on the Saturday. So I don't see how I'll be able to until Steve decides to put that on Sunday, where it might be easier and possible. We'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what here. I'm gonna announce something right now. Over the Christmas holidays, I plan to run a little event, a little round robin type thing. Over the holidays, most kids' activities stop because holidays. Yep. So it'll probably be, it won't probably be local. People will probably have to travel a little bit. I'll provide lifts, but, it should be fun. There'll be, booze and a fireplace and, good food. And, you're first still on the invite list, Antoine. So, we'll coordinate that.
Yeah, we'll see. Holiday, time off is also something hard to obtain.
Well, you know, we'll just have to work around your schedule.
We'll see.
All right, stick in the mud.
Yeah. Well, it's not like I wouldn't like to.
I know. But you're like Eeyore. You're giving up before you even start.
there's some stuff I know. Like trying to have hobby time during the old days is almost impossible. And time away from the family, that's even more difficult. So we'll see.
All right. So what are you up to?
Okay. Not much. It was not a great hobby week. As I've mentioned last week, I was missing bases for truffles. and my butcher. So I finished coating all five bases, painted them, and now Truffle has been glued to his base and have added tuft. So he's just waiting for some varnish, and it'll be done to sit in my display case until I decide to try it. Now that season 4 is here and Border and Princess are so good.
Yeah. Like we said earlier, this makes it hard to choose them, eh?
Yeah. But it's painted. All player. I'll play it or that. Whatever. For sure. Even if it's not optimal, that's something that really stops me usually. So
this is true.
I'll play it. Apart from that, I've sculpted a ball token for an event that we already hinted at. And that's done, and it's going to ship soon. And that's it for my hobby. That's not much. Well, that's not it. Because,
wow. You sculpted five bases and painted them and whatever. And then sculpted that other project. And, you know, It's not like that's nothing, Antoine.
No. And I've maintained my time on the Inktober. So tonight's drawing is done, so I switched to painting Tenderizer.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't think I'll finish him because I have to do another commission, but that was too much setup while recording.
Yeah.
So Tenderizer will be my time off cleanser model. In the meantime.
Nice.
So he was already started, so that's a good point to start on.
Is Tenderizer the goalkeeper?
Yep.
With the big blunt axe?
It's like a meat...
Well, it's a meat tenderizer.
Tenderizer, yeah. Okay. I didn't know the name in English, so...
Yeah. Well, surprisingly enough...
It's the same name.
Yeah, tenderizer wields a tenderizer.
Yeah, big surprise there.
Yeah. Steamforge, original people that they are.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it for my hobby. The rest was mostly cleaning, all stuff, work, so not much time. I was able to get... I'm not sure if I played one or two games in last week.
Didn't you play against Steve one night and you played against Yom the other night?
Yeah, I think I remember playing against Steve, but was that the night you played with him too?
No, I think it was the night after I played against him or something.
Okay. But yeah, I played against Steve. So one Butchers versus is Morticians. And the game went I scored my first goal with Ox ever. And not only that, he scored twice by doing a snapshot to finish the game.
What?
Yeah. Oh, no, he didn't finish the game. I had to do a kill after that. But, yeah. He moved up, got a free ball, scored on the goal back. The ball went back. Steve scored with Obelisk. And
I was wondering who Steve was playing. Okay.
On the rebound, I was able to get to the ball with Shank, pass to Ox, who snapshotted for another goal. And how did that game finish? Oh, no, I'm missing two games, yeah. And after that, I was down on the clock. I had a couple activations left before clocking myself out and giving Steve the 2 points to finish. And with that last activation, I was able to do a kill. So a takeout to... conclude the games. It ended 12-11.
Clock is like the bane of your existence in Guild Ball.
Yeah.
And it's for the same reason that I have the same problem with Rage. It's too many dice to roll while you're fighting.
Yeah, too many attacks, too many dice. Mm-hmm. You need to calculate every time, adding dice, removing dice. And
I try to make piles of dice depending on what I'm going to do.
Me too.
Like, these are my two options. So I try to make piles of dice during the other player's activation so that I can.
Yeah, during the other player activation, I always put back my widgets and dice in lines. And even then, I clip myself out. The last two games with Steve happened the same way. Like, I won on the last activation before giving him the last point.
Clock out. Right, because when your clock runs out in Guild Ball, you give points every activation.
Yeah.
You don't just die, which is nice.
Yeah. So, that happened twice in a row with Steve in my last two games with him. So, kind of stressful. I need to get better on my time. So, that's not a good time to switch to engineers. I'll stick with my butchers for now. And I wanted to switch to engineers to do goals, but right now, that's two goals with them against Steve. And I played a second game with Yom, where I also did two goals. So, two goals, two takeouts. This time it's Brisket did them, and Origin Brisket.
At least she's a striker.
She's a striker, and she did a goal in the first turn. And now that she got the above and beyond rule that was on Veteran Brisket before, that gave me two more momentum for the second turn, two more influences. And that's a big swing.
Gives you two more influence.
Okay, yeah, explain. Because when you do a goal, you get a goal influence for the turn after, all the extra turns after that. However, with above and beyond, that's two instead of one.
Really?
It doubles the bonus. Yep.
Forever?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. That is so good.
Yes, it is. But I think that was my fourth game of season four with the Butchers, and it was the first time I was able to score with Brisket to not end the game. Because she did score in the first two games I played, but each time it was to close the game. But this time it was in the first turn, the setup was right, and that brought me into the second turn with 14 influence. And jeez, that was good. After that, it was easier to kill people.
Yeah, I guess that's good, Anton. That would be acceptable, I suppose.
Yeah. And Yom went for a goal two, and it was super lucky after killing a couple of players. When he went for the goal, my goal kick ended up straight on Brisket. So she just had to walk up. She only had one influence. I was not going to do anything with her, really. But the ball ended up...
But then you handed her the ball.
On her, exactly. So she just had to walk up and shot. And she scored and finished the game there. So it's going pretty well right now for the season four for my Butchers.
Well, that's okay. They'd been kind of on the down and out for the last couple seasons. I don't think they were ever downright bad, but they certainly weren't tearing up the tournament scene or anything. So
no, they were a bit before the nerf to Fillet, but after that, they didn't come back on the top.
Well, even that was kind of a one-trick pony, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't play her, so. But people loved her, so.
Yeah, well, I think people loved her because there was some misinterpretation going on there.
That's possible.
I think the nerf wasn't so much a nerf as a
intended playstyle.
You're doing all this wrong, and we realize you're doing it wrong because our guys told you that this was right, but they were wrong.
That's possible.
I love that whole idea of the Lawyers Guild, which is all the rules clarifications people. The fact that they half the time don't know what they're saying. But what they say becomes law. It's like, what? Hold on. Something's wrong with this, guys. I think we see less of that now, but the first couple seasons were rough with that.
They're more drilled now, I think.
Well, I wonder so much if they're more message takers for the development people, and they're the intermediary.
Yeah, probably possible. But yeah. So that's it for me. I had good two games of Guild Ball. You had two games of Guild Ball. We've both painted Guild Ball, so that's almost a Guilds of the North show right there.
Yep. Yeah, let's, Steve's going to be pissed.
Well, it's more Guildbug content for him to listen to.
That's true. That's true. Plus, we have to record Guilds on Earth this week, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he will hunt us down. I'm just saying.
But that's about it.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we can mosey on into our main topic.
Mm-hmm.
While I attempt not to crazy glue my fingers together. Actually, before I do this...
And where would you crazy glue your finger together, Paul?
Well, right now I'm hobbying at my computer desk, which was never intended for this, so it is complete chaos. I have a mixing board, a keyboard, a giant monitor, three lights, a giant microphone, a miscellaneous 30 jars of paint, a mouse, a bunch of like model holders, crazy glue, packages of models, and a workspace that's about 6 by 6 inches. This is an example of how not to hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try crazy gluing these guys to plastic bases to paint them. And then I'll yank them off, because that'll hopefully work, and put them on their resin bases that I bought especially for them. That seems like a plan, right, Antoine?
That's how I did my Riddick Knights.
Excellent. Well, then when I tear their legs off, pulling them off the bases, I can
don't
blame
use
you.
Plastic glue for the base. That's it.
I'm not using crazy glue.
Yeah, at least. I might have done that for a couple before realizing my mistake.
Certainly not, Antoine. You do not make these types of errors.
No, I don't. I'm not the kind of people, a person to glue stuff that's not supposed to glue together. Either body parts or models.
Didn't you glue a sculpting tool to your lip once?
Yep. No, I glued my lips together. Because of a sculpting tool.
Because of a sculpting tool. That's what it was. I just remember we were laughing at you because that was at the gaming store on one of our hobby nights.
No, I might at my place.
Oh, I'm thinking of a hobby night at the gaming store where you glued... I'm pretty sure you glued one of your wooden sculpting tools to your lips. You were working some green stuff and you'd mix some crazy glue with the green stuff.
Yeah, but that was at my old house. That wasn't at the gaming store. We were having a...
Okay. We're having a night at your house?
Oldies now, night at my house. Yeah.
Yeah, those are some fun times.
Yes. Apart from the glue part. And even that.
Well, in retrospect, it was a good laugh.
Yeah.
I don't suspect anyone enjoys gluing stuff to their face or gluing their lips together. I do wonder why this marine is prancing. Because I'm looking at the box and I don't see a prancing marine. So I think something went horribly wrong with his leg assembly.
He's becoming a berserker.
Oh, the corn berserker prancing guy. Yeah. I actually painted one of those as a test model last week for a blacksmith team for Guild Ball.
So I wanted to test it. You used that?
Well, that's the first thing I found. Well, I found a regular marine and I was like, ooh, no, that's not going to work. So then I had to go rifling through my box for another marine to paint. And I found a corn berserker. And I giggled at how terrible he was. I'd actually repost him. So he wasn't as bad as they normally are out of the box.
But you reposed the model for a test color scheme?
No, I'd reposed him years ago because it was for a friend's army.
Okay.
And he gave me a bunch of stuff and he told me to do what I wanted. And I thought, well, you know what, I'll reposition them because he wanted to play corn, but he hated the models. So I said, I'll make them look more dynamic, like they're running and stuff. And I'll use some other bits from regular marines that are more modern. And I did like 10 corn berserkers, and that was enough. And then, yeah, they never got painted. So, anyway. So hobby spaces. I'm a firm believer in take your hobby wherever you go in your house and hobby wherever you are. Especially since having kids, because I have to be able to watch the kids.
Yeah.
So if I'm sequestered in my basement, I'm not watching the kids. And Lord knows I can't have my kids in here with me. That would just be a disaster. Like, unmitigated disaster. Like, the other week, I had Lucas chewing a sealed tube of crazy glue. Like, he had it in his mouth and he was gnawing on it. Right? So...
Yeah, if you don't want him to become the same as I am, and
yeah, but like
glue everything together.
Tube of glue, like...
Yeah, that would have been bad.
And I don't even know where he found it, because I thought I had them all, like, they're all, like, in pill bottles, so they're locked up. But he found one somewhere in something while rifling through my paint bag. It must have fallen in, like, between the foams or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah. All that to say, that was the last time I had him anywhere near me when I was down here. Because I don't want to have to explain to my wife
why the baby is glued shut.
I glued the baby shut. That sentence sounds like a lot of fun to say, but I don't think it is. Honey, I glued the baby shut. I just, which end?
It's the 14th sequel to On the Ashram the Kids.
Yeah. Which end did you glue shut? The intake. But I think it's important to have a dedicated place if you can.
It makes it so much more efficient. Like, one of the, I don't know if the word works in English, but the adage of the hobbyist is to paint every night, even if it's only 15 minutes. That's how you maintain the willingness to continue and to work on, and you make progress. Even if it's small steps, do a couple wash, do some dry brushing, every night do something. But if you don't have a place to work on a permanent setup, even if it's just a small corner, that 15 minutes will pass just by setting up and tearing down, and you won't have any time to really work on your stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
And even if it's something easy, like just a breakfast tray that's already, and you just bring it to a table, and you don't have to do all the setup, just have your paint tray ready.
Yeah.
To come out of a cupboard or something like that.
Yeah, do you remember GW used to make those MDF trays?
Yeah.
Those hobby trays?
Yeah.
Yeah, those things were super useful.
Yeah, they worked well. They had everything you needed. But now so many people are doing MDF that you can get them elsewhere.
Well, also, they've gone like completely overboard. Most of these things are giant like racking systems for 300 jars of paint.
Clearly too big. That's for a permanent setup. That's not a transportable one.
The other thing I found is I picked up this little rolling stack of trays at IKEA, and I don't know what this thing is called, but it's awesome. It was about $30, I think. It's like three metal baskets. It holds a bunch of paints. It's got nice big wheels that roll easily.
Kind of a hair salon.
Hair salon type thing. Yeah, I can see what you're saying. But it's fantastic. So with that, or a couple of those, I could have all my paints and everything, kind of roll it out of the hobby room into the main basement where I'm working with the TV or whatever, or the computer, and then roll it back away. That was the theory anyway. They don't really roll away. They kind of just stay here, but, you know, the plan was good. So I think if you have to share space, you need to have a way to easily and quickly pull stuff out so you can get work done and then put it back away so it's out of the way and doesn't annoy your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or girlfriend or whatever. Because really, if you're living alone, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, no, for sure.
You know,
I would have model everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. My wife would argue that I already have models everywhere, even with her here. I would argue that I'm relatively subdued. With it, I'd probably be lying though.
Really?
Yeah. I think I only have one model upstairs right now, and she's in a package, so she doesn't really count. She's not taking up any space.
Do you still have the org next to the microwave?
Yes, with a nice little chibi miniature from Liz Beckley.
Yeah.
Actually, I may have given the orc back, because the orc stayed here for several years.
Yeah.
But then Guillaume wanted to play, when he started playing 40K again, he didn't have a unit commander for that unit of orcs anymore. Because that was an orc commando, so it's like a special orc, right? And so I believe I gave it back to him.
Oh.
I do have other models up there, though. I just don't remember what it is. There's a little chibi from Liz Beckley, and there's something else.
Oh,
Gulliman. It's a chibi robot Gulliman that Ben gave me for Christmas.
Okay.
Or Robute. Robute Gulliman.
And the mice that Guillaume painted?
That's in my display case down here. Okay. That's That is actually on my my Pro Painter shelf with another Liz Beckley model and a Lovejoy model. And I'm trying to think what else I have in there. I think I've got a partially done Wapple model. I got to get Jim to paint me something for my display, actually. I'm sure he'd do it for me and not charge me an arm and a leg if I kept it reasonable. My brother from a different mother separated by space, time, and international borders. His words, not mine. So what do you think makes a good hobby spot? So, I mean, I think lighting.
Lighting. I was going to say that. That's the main thing, for sure.
Yeah. And to be honest, lighting is so cheap now. Like, it used to be, you'd be looking for a good paint light, and you would spend $100 easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not that anymore.
No. And it makes such a difference. You get less fatigue. You can paint longer. It makes such a big difference.
Yeah. I, a couple suggestions for lights. First off, this might not be everywhere in the States, but in Canada, at least in Quebec, Dollarama, they carry a full line of LED light bulbs now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, you can go in and for $3, you can get 100 watt or 60 watt daylight LED bulbs, which are amazing because they generate no heat, so you don't end up sweating under the lamps.
Yeah.
They take no power, so if you leave them on, it's not a big deal. Your lamp won't overheat and burn down your house. And it's phenomenal. And you combine that with a cheap desk lamp, and you end up with a great painting light for like less than $30. It's really hard to go wrong.
And optimally, if you can get two lamps.
Yep. I'm using two $15 Walmart lamps on my desk. And they call them architect lamps because they have like the adjustable arms with the springs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using two of those, you know, 60 watt. The lamps are technically weighted for 40 watt bulbs, but 40 watt incandescents.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So I've got 60 watt LEDs in there since there's no heat and I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're phenomenal. I mean, for the price, you can't beat it. The other thing I picked up recently that's awesome is I picked up, they're kind of like, they're clamping lights. So they have a metal reflective, not hood, shade, I guess you could say. Like a metal reflector.
Yeah.
So they're like spots. And they're rated up to a 60 watt bulb. But again, I put a 100 watt LED in there because it takes less power than a 60 watt incandescent and it's brighter. And the other end are like clamps that you squeeze.
Yes.
Like you squeeze it together and it clamps onto like shelves or whatever. So I have a couple of those, and those are amazing, because like in my room where my painting desk is supposed to be, if I could ever, dig it out, I don't have any direct lighting overhead that desk. So I actually just clamp those onto the shelf I have over the desk, pointing down at it, and it gives me phenomenal lighting. Those lamps were $7 each on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
And they have on-off switches, and so they're not complete garbage. And the bulbs, again, were $3. So for $10 a lamp, super nice. And they're adjustable, and they swivel and whatever. So you can, if you can't quite get them directly above you, you can kind of put them somewhere else and aim them where you want them to go. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the Ott lights are great, and all these expensive lamps are awesome. But not everyone has $100 to spend on a light, or even $50 to spend on a light.
Yeah.
So for $10.
Yeah, there are cheaper alternatives.
Yeah.
If you just want to upgrade your workspace a bit, or set up a cheap space.
And what's nice is, let's say you're in a living room. So you're at a living room desk painting, right? Well, you don't necessarily want to have a giant lamp there that's always out that you have to take down and put up, but you could clip this onto a desk or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and use it as a spot for painting, and then just unclip it and take it away with you.
Yeah,
the clamps are rubberized, so they won't mark anything.
The bigger lamps, the clamp.
The C-clamp on the desk, for sure.
They're going to destroy the sides of your table. That might not be appreciated by your significant other.
Yeah, surprisingly not, yeah.
Yeah. We're making them appear such drags.
Yeah, well, they grew up and we didn't. That's the real problem, right? I'm so lucky. My wife is such a giant geek. It's just her geeky passions lie somewhere else.
Yeah.
So she doesn't quite get the miniatures thing. And my overall ability to clutter places really bothers her. But she understands geeky passion, so she lets a lot of it slide. So, God bless my wife.
Same thing here. Must be honest. Same thing.
Yeah, but you're pretty good. Your geekiness kind of stays contained in your basement.
Yeah, but I have a big space just for that, though.
Well, so do I. If you take a look at my gaming room, that's a chaos. Well, mind you, that's also the 3D printers and everything else are in there. So, and the stacks of filament.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
What else? It's really that. After that, you need space to work on, but just protect the surface, a cutting board, some ceramic tiles, whatever.
Yeah, for pallets or for a cutting surface.
Yeah.
Or one of those self-healing mats or whatever you can get for a few bucks on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be said for that.
Well, we could do a whole show just about tools, probably.
We could. But let's not, because that'd be awfully boring. I have this tool and that tool. I think the only thing that really requires special dedicated space, realistically, is airbrushing.
Yes.
Which is becoming more and more popular. And I'm airbrushing everywhere in my house. Again, much to my wife's chagrin. I keep a bottle of isopropyl with me at all times so I can wipe down furniture and stuff once my overspray hits it. I have maybe painted my kitchen table green once by accident. I ain't gonna lie. Luckily, it's not a real wood, so the isopropyl alcohol didn't damage it. It's a veneer surface, so my wife will never know because she never listens to the podcast, so I'm safe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really the thing. I mean, anything else you can kind of get away with doing anywhere. Airbrushing, you really should have a dedicated place that, you know.
Optimally, a vent or a mask or something.
Yeah, or both, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not for smell, because airbrushing really doesn't smell. No. With acrylics, caveat. You know, if you're doing alcohol-based paints, Alclad or Tamiya's or whatever, it's going to smell, right? But regular water-based acrylics, there's no scent. They're acrylic. But that doesn't mean you want to be breathing the particulate.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other points? Anything else we should talk about for that? I don't know. What do you do to organize stuff?
I don't.
You just have that giant table, right? You've got like an 8x4 table there or something crazy, isn't it? It seems big.
I got a 4x6, a full 40K table here. I have a second 30 inches by 4 feet table. Multiple of the rollable drawers. Three of them full crates. And for three shelving units. That's my workshop. And there's a... like a lost space under the stairs that go upstairs. And I have two rollable panels with multiple bins on each. So that's the workshop. So it's just a almost not organized chaos here.
Well, you know where everything is mostly, right? So
yeah. But at least it's all contained here. The only thing that's out of this room is a gaming table and... my libraries and the display stuff. So the display models are out, but everything else is contained here. So I can close the door. It's an unfinished room on the concrete floor. So I can drop stuff down, which is also bad because a rough concrete floor, when you lose a bit on that, that bit is lost.
Yeah. The bits bounce really well and they blend into the gray concrete. Yeah. I've noticed that.
So
I had to do some searching on your floor before.
Yeah, the ball token we mentioned earlier, I needed to cut a part of it to...
Yeah, you need to cut a part off. I get, yeah.
Yeah, to have it kind of at a different angle. and that part flew off, and I never found it. So I had to re-sculpt that whole small part again.
Jeez. Well, it doesn't show. You did a really good job
matching still.
The size and stuff. But
That added time that I had not planned.
You'll find it when you move next.
No, it's going to disappear in the vacuum eventually.
That's
it.
Yeah, my house is short on storage space. So my what's supposed to be my gaming and painting space is often used as secondary storage.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have so much stuff in there, like stuff just gets packed and it becomes like a wall. Like you walk in, you hit a wall and you have to like hop over things / dig through stuff to get to the stuff at the back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, every time I go to clean, I have to empty that room out into the other rooms that surround it and then slowly put stuff back one at a time where it's supposed to go. And every time I do that, my wife nearly has a heart attack because she'll come downstairs and be like, oh my God, what has happened? Like your room exploded and took over the rest of the basement. I'm like, no, it's okay. It's going to get worse before it gets better, right? And then it gets better for a few weeks and then it's like back to where it was.
Yeah. Finding time to organize when you don't have enough time already to be because of the rest of life, kids and everything.
Yeah, I should really make organizing my hobby for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, me too.
That would be the smart thing to do.
That would be.
Again, I'm going to blame you, Antoine, because you keep coming up with new games for us to play, so I have to keep painting. It's really all your fault, Antoine.
Yeah, sure.
Well, at least you accept it.
I don't mind. I know you'll take that the blame. You have enough 40K and War Machine models to paint that even what I make you buy is little compared to everything you already had before. So,
well, actually, since I got rid of,
I don't
so
mind
much
40K. Having blame, but I'm sure my blame part is so small in the overall scheme of things that
I've got so little unassembled 40K now, Antoine.
But there's a difference between unassembled and unpainted.
That cuts like a knife, Antoine.
The same thing for your War Machine. So,
well, War Machine, I know. Yeah, War Machine.
And I can't think the blame for those two games. Or not entirely.
Well, yeah, 40K, like when I first... Wow, we're sort of off topic again. Yeah, no, it's true. When I met you, I was already playing War Machine. I had the little force. I had started buying more because you guys were primarily War Machine players, even though we never ever played.
Yeah.
But it was like in hopes that someday we would play, you know? Oh, well.
I think that's about it. I think we covered it and we're just rambling now.
Yeah, well, this is a rambling show, right? People are supposed to be listening to this while they hobby.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to necessarily make sense. They're not the boss of us.
For sure not.
All right, Antoine.
Small thing to mention in the news part, maybe?
Oh, yeah,
before
sure.
we close?
Yeah, I forgot about the news.
That has been running, I think, for some time, but just before they close there's going to be less than a week left when we publish. It's the Black Sailors Legend of the Jade Sea by Big Child Creative. So they ran a really successful green skin ice, bigger scale miniature line a couple of years ago. You have pirate orcs and pirate trolls and pirate goblins. So they are back. This time, it's same kind of team, but they are more of a Asian inspired pirates. But still orcs, still green skins, still goblins, still trolls. There's a honey with a cannon. So. Amazing miniatures. Most of them are at 75 millimeter scale. All resin for painters and collectors. Excellent piece.
Yeah, they are really something. I hadn't actually looked at this Kickstarter. I'm really liking some of the designs. What's the let's talk about the, you know, since we're here, might as well pretend we're doing the new show again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about pledge levels. Okay, so it looks like one of the standard miniatures is 49 euros, so that's pretty reasonable. You said 75 mils, right?
Yes.
And that gets you the stretch goals plus So they unlock stretch goals for the miniature you select, which I'm assuming are alternate heads.
Or alternate bits parts, yes.
Maybe bases or something. Yeah. And one standard miniature. So 49 euros. Do you know any Canadian dollars to this? Because I always get that wrong.
That's probably around 65, 70, maybe. Or that's probably so more bad. 80. That's probably US dollars. 49.
Well, Antoine Googles. I'll just need a chat.
74.
Which, I guess, for 75 mil model makes sense. That's not outside the realm of the norm.
No.
And then there's something called First Class Sailor, which gives you...
One of the exclusive models. Some of them will be available only during the Kickstarter. So that's one of those. Hmm. And after that, if you want to get... If you want multiple, they have a higher pledge at 149. So the price of three, you get a fourth one included. So you... Get a 25% discount.
You do that with friends or whatever, right?
Yep. And recently, I think today they unlocked a special stretch goal where it's kind of a... How did Yom say it? Build your own display bases. So it's parts for decks, like the decks of a ship or a dock. Yeah, yeah. And you can assemble those all those small pieces together and make something that fits the team you want.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they call it the Scenery Kit 1 for 20 euros.
Yeah, these models are pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it's been successful. It had a goal of 15,000 euros. Right now, it's almost double that. And they still have... They will have, by the time we release, I think 5 days left. So you'll have time to... look at them and maybe a pledge on your own.
Yeah, the goblin standing on the head of whatever it is he killed, like a troll or whatever,
yeah,
is awesome with the sword that's bigger than he is.
And my favorite one is Onitsukaji, the troll with the like the fish cannon.
Yep,
fish scales cannon.
Yep,
that was really cool. Really like that one.
The toad riding monk is pretty awesome too. Especially now they realize there's an arm hanging out of the toad's mouth.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff. I mean, it's Big Chow Creative, so not any kind of surprise there. All right. Is that a wrap, buddy?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, I will see you next week.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at prfilio, Antoine at eltonioberg, Steve at b_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com where you will find Who, What, Why, a game design podcast. A podcast that talks about the ins and outs of game design with game designers. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.